You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Oh!
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's league match with Chester.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. All the action and reaction to Saturday's league match with Chester coming up shortly, but before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with a date for your diary, as on Friday the 18th of January, the club will be hosting a race night at Broadhurst Park to raise money for the club. Tickets are priced at £10 and doors open at 7pm, with the first of eight races starting at 7:30pm. Food will be served at approximately 9pm. To book your ticket, please contact the office on 0161 769 2005. To matters on the pitch, and FC suffered their third straight defeat on New Year's Day, with a second half Michael Donoghue sending off, opening up the floodgates for a 4-0 defeat at title chasing Chorley.
Well, FC are going to have to sort this out. How many red cards this season?
That's seven now.
Start with a disadvantage away to Chorley. Well, they've just got to play the hand they've dealt now that Donoghue has dealt them. Wilson nicely in there. Alex Newby. It's got to be number Elliot Newby. And there it is. Chorley take the lead. Elliot Newby there. O'Halloran tried to stop it, rolled under his body.
Well, it took them around about 59 seconds to score after that red card.
Well, FC have got to somehow keep their heads up here. Will it be back to Wallen? Can he deliver quality? And it comes, but unchallenged is Baines. And breaking away now. 2-on-2 and plenty of other shirts streaking forward. Lynch. Which bounces onto his hand, but they still have it. Elliot Newby. That's got Newby give and go. Newby with a chance. 2-0. Two goals for Newby.
We'll talk in a second once Manchester Storm's PA system's finished. So O'Halloran committed himself in midfield, left the space behind him, didn't get to the ball, and then it was basically a one-man defensive display from Lynch, and he couldn't do it in the end.
Yeah, he was just outnumbered, wasn't he?
And it was a nice finish, though. Good give and go. And Newby slotted away, very composed. And Chorley now, home and dry, you would think. 2-0, a man up as well, as Blakeman takes his time to place this ball. Nice ball over from Blakeman. 3-0! And so, regulation really.
Give it a second, James. Right,
I feel like saying TRY time.
They don't have music like this in rugby league, James. So I reject that.
Super League.
Still, it's better than watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I'm sure we can all agree.
Well, I watched it in a Curzon Centre in Ernston, circa 1967.
Little thinking that you'd be here.
If you told me that on New Year's Day 2018 I'd be commentating a football match in Chorley. Long ball forward.
Well cut out, Potts.
Hotz does well, but then it gets muscled out of it by Carver. Carver takes it towards the byline, plays it back. Getting in the way was O'Halloran. Carver, cross in. Lynch ducks and tricks his own man. And it's O'Keefe to make it 4-0.
FC Live there from New Year's Day, and following that defeat at Chorley, manager Neil Reynolds promised to improve the squad and acted quickly by bringing in experienced right-back Danny Morton from Curzon Ashton. Here's Neil on Friday speaking about his new signing.
I'm continually trying to improve the squad, Ben, and one thing that I have been quite vocal about is the experience that's been lacking. You know, I've got Allinson, I've got O'Halloran, I've got Lynch, but you know, I've got Potts, but I need more. And I'm delighted to say that we've got Danny Morton over the line, right back, with lots of experience at this level. Stockport, Curzon Ashton, you know, 250 games under his belt. 6'2", great presence, knows the position inside and out. So he'll come in and be a real plus for us. And, you know, that's taken me a couple of weeks to get over the line, the Danny signing, but, you know, delighted. And, you know, want to thank Curzon for their professionalism throughout. But, you know, Danny's going to come and join the squad and add quality to the side.
I'd already written the word tall next to him. So I think that's key as well. When we played Spennymoor and Chorley, it was noticeable that we're not the tallest of sides. And that's important as well, isn't it?
I think when you're defending set pieces, and no disrespect to the smaller lads, but when I look around them, you know, there's Donoghue, there's Willoughby, there's Samoes, there's Potts, there's Senior, there's Caleb Richards. You know, they're all 5'8", 5'9", and we're coming up against teams that, you know, on set pieces, all throw up 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". You know, it's difficult to mark that when they've got a foot advantage over you. So it's one thing that I've been trying to address. I'm not saying that we're going to be, you know, a team of giants, but we do need to support the likes of Lynch and O'Halloran on set pieces. So, you know, we can go big for big. But it's not just the reason I'm signing him. He brings lots of qualities. He brings the experience, a great age, 25, 26. And I'm sure it'll fit in really well with the lads in the dressing room.
And finally, when it comes to the lineup for Chester, I've got a funny feeling Piers will be suspended, I think. And, you know, you've got Donoghue coming up, his suspension shortly too. And you've got a couple of walking wounded from previous matches in Samoes and Senior. How's the squad shaping up?
It's tough, isn't it? You know, you're right, Piers is going to be suspended. Donoghue is going to be suspended next week. We're nursing Samoes. Senior's still touch and go. But we've got strength in depth. There will be changes tomorrow, you know, and I said, you know, after each game that we'll keep tinkering with it, we'll keep tweaking it until we get it right, because, you know, there may be lads on the bench that can bring something different, but there will certainly be changes tomorrow, but certainly, you know, the changes for the right reason. And what I'm trying to explain to you, Ben, is that at times that you might have to take good players out of the team, and when I say that, some people are maybe used to losing, or it's kind of ingrained in them that when things go against them, and at times you just need to come out of the team and to look at it from the outside, and lads who've been waiting in the wings may need to come in to prove themselves and kind of, you know, ignore what's going on, ignore the noise, and just think about their own performance and how they're going to affect the team. And that's what's going to happen tomorrow. We're definitely going to tweak it. There definitely will be changes, but I'm certain that, you know, the 16 on show will do everything they can do to go and secure a win tomorrow, because I know that's what, you know, we're all desperate for.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football action now, and following that 4-0 defeat to Chorley on New Year's Day, FC United hosted yet another promotion-chasing side in the form of Chester. To hear now how the Reds got on, it's over to FC Live.
So welcome back, everyone, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. Stato Paul joins us.
Good afternoon.
It's good to have you back, Paul. I've missed you since New Year's Day. It's
really?
Been, yeah, it's been quite tragic, really.
I find that hard to believe.
Oh, can I ask you a question, Ben?
Oh, hello.
So, are you telling me you have stats brought to you on a daily basis, then?
No,
outside of the game?
No, I go back to the old stats he sent me in the past and go, oh, I remember that one. Oh, it's a good one, that one. Swampy's here as well, joking aside. And, well, Swampy, welcome back.
Yes, and I'd like to start off with a Merry Christmas to one and all.
But welcome to Broadhurst Park, everyone, and it's now time for team news. Big team news today, as we've got a new right-back, Swampy.
Big team news.
Danny Morton joins us from Curzon Ashton, and we've already heard from Renault earlier. A bit of height in the defence, but also a very attack-minded right back.
Good quality player. He was at Curzon, was at Stockport County. Exactly the kind of signing. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the photographs of FC United and Manchester in the tunnel for most games. you notice one significant difference between them and most other clubs: height. And it's something that FC United have never really had, a big teams and athletic big teams. They've always had small, athletic, good quality players. And he'll be a big addition because he is a tall, strong, broad-shouldered kind of player. And again, he's probably at least maybe 2 or 3 inches taller than every FC player. And that includes O'Halloran. I mean, Lynch is probably the smallest centre-half you're ever going to see, but a great one as well. But it's good for competition. It's good the fact, there's now two players that are vying for that position at the right back. And, you would hope that we could maybe have that opportunity around the pitch a little bit more. But 12 players currently on contract, it's very difficult to change things around if you want to, because, not many teams will be looking at FC players and thinking, yeah, fancy them in our team, because we're where we are in the division.
There has been a couple of changes. Obviously, Piers is suspended following his sending off against Fenimore. Mike Potts has been... he's been rested because he's done a lot of work recently and he's started to feel it in his legs, so he's not been dropped for performance issues. He's just been working a bit too hard. But Paul, we've got you on as well.
Okay, right. Yes. Matters are rising.
Oh, are they?
The Chorley game, you talked about some stats that you wanted. Okay, 4 goalies reviews this season. We've had 7 different centre-backs. 8 different right backs, including wing backs. We've had 18 different midfielders and 9 strikers. How about that?
And to say that we're third bottom, it's quite quite understandable, really, isn't it?
Danny Morton's number 43 this season.
That's a record. And that's a record now.
It equals the record.
Right. There we go. The other stat to remember, Swampy, is we're not very good in second half, so I don't know if you're aware of this.
I have been known to have a listen to the old FC radio whilst to my right-hand side, great football commentary experts are hoping to arrive. But while they're not, we'll make do with Emily and with James Quinn.
That look, then. Anyway, crack on. Go on.
I think what you've got is you've got players, as soon as something goes wrong for them, after they're playing well, something goes wrong, they just... don't seem to be able to pick themselves up.
It's almost like people keep reminding them that they're not very good in second halves, and it's like self-fulfilling a bit.
Well, also
you can't blame the radio for that.
You can't blame the radio for that. You can't blame it. Also, I mean, people have been saying, we don't change anything in the second half, blah-de-blah-de-blah, and that's what's been on message boards and so on and so forth. It's similar to people saying that, FC United and Manchester's Chris Lynch is past it and slow. It's like, what? Who's watching this game? But the thing is, if you're doing well in the first half, you're not going to come out and change it. You're going to play the same way as you've been playing, and then unfortunately we've imploded. And it's time for these players today to grow a pair and actually make sure that when things go wrong, and if they do go wrong, they can actually bring themselves to actually go, you know what, we've been playing well, we've gone behind, but let's crack on.
Of course, it's impossible to grow footballs, and I'm not sure why you need a pair of them. Thank you.
Well, because the opposition mainly have the ball in the second half, and if they have their own ball in the second half, then perhaps we might do something with it.
I'm just covering it because we're on North Manchester FM as well, obviously. But anyway, go on.
I'm sure they've heard worse than that on North Manchester FM. And also, by the way, today's game, there will be goals, regardless, because the person to my right-hand side, Mr. Brennan, who runs a non-league football magazine, every game he's been to this season, there's not been a nil-nil. There's always been goals in every game he's been to this season, so we can expect goals this afternoon.
Closing stats for you, Paul, anything interesting before we go?
Probably well known now. Chester won away win in their last 11. That's in the league. Their last away win in the league was September. We've won one home game in the last 13 in the league.
Well, thank you, Paul.
So something has to change, basically.
Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us for this pre-match chat. We'll be having another discussion with Paul at half-time, but it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for the first half here at Broadhurst Park. It's FC United against Chester, ConstructiveCody.com and the Armchair Armour. This match brought to you as well by the Energy Check. But it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team. It's Emily Maguire. But first, the one, only... Swamper. Yeah.
Thanks, Ben. Yay. That's an introduction fitting for the calibre of radio commentator you have this afternoon. If you just joined us, it's 0-0 here at FC United of Manchester. It's 15 minutes on the clock, and a golden opportunity for the visitors to set the lead. An open goal from 10 yards, but missed by Daniel Mooney after a dreadful mistake from FC's goalkeeper. But with the exception of that, an even contest as now Chester down the left-hand side. Sass out the penalty area. There's a ball to the there. It's a decent ball towards the back post. There's a header on there. And an absolutely woeful defending from FC's goalkeeper there. Absolutely dreadful from Lloyd Ellison. The header was there for the number nine. Anthony Dudley headed it down. And it went through his hands.
I didn't really make too much contact on it. I mean, the ball into the box was a good one. It was a deep ball right to the back post. They had two players lining up for it, but the contact that they made, both players for Chester seemed to get in each other's way almost, and it looked fairly comfortable catch that for the keeper.
And FC have been exerting the pressure in this second half. Morton goes up there with the big brigade at the back there. Plenty of big men up there. Caleb Richards will stay back with Bannister. As one yellow shirt remains up, in comes the cross. Hovers in the air, Lynch though. And was that Winter there? Just missed kicks. Real chance now. And FC in trouble.
It's a big foul by Chester. It's a silly one as well, actually. He didn't need to do that. There's a couple of players running after onto the ball, and he has pulled him back. It's a booking, if nothing else.
Yeah, it was second yellow. FC's luck changing. That was green. What a silly foul. Didn't need to do it in the first place. And then when he's on a yellow.
And FC now have the ball back. Willoughby plays it to Morton. Morton now. A 1-2 with Sharp. Down the right hand side he goes. Ball cuts across into everybody. First half shot comes in. Oh, a great save. A rasping shot on the edge of the penalty area from Willoughby. And wonderful hands from Grant Shenton, because that was going at some pace.
The referee's indicating there'll be a minimum of 5 minutes additional.
Well, there might be 5 minutes, but there's a break on again for the visitors. And now there's an overlap. The 17 Hughes, he'll take a shot from distance. Well, you know, he plays the ball across field. First half shot comes in. 2-0. Game over. And what's been interesting, in the last minute or so before the 90 and that ball went up, FC had just slowed the pace down a little bit. They were playing balls from left to right rather than moving forward with it. It was a well-taken goal, it was well finished, but again, yeah. 10 men of Chester should be able to split you like that, as easy as that.
No, well, that's what happens, you know, they've been pushing forward so high up the field, and then Chester... they've done well with the 10 men, like I say. They've packed everybody behind the ball and left one person up front. But as soon as they have been breaking out with numbers. And again, they had two men over, and then made it easy decision for Marsh. And once it reached him, it was only going one place.
Well, Southport have just equalised against Nuneaton Borough, which is a slight consolation. But for me, it's a. It is a relegation battle this season. FC United, if they can go on a run, it would be very, very welcomed. However, it'll have to come maybe after next week. And with that Bradford Park Avenue game coming next Saturday, it'll be interesting to see what FC United can do.
Yeah, it certainly will. You know, there's a lot of positives still in this side, but it just gets harder and harder every week. You know, the more you don't get anything out of the games, you know, you're putting this much effort into and you don't get anything from it, it does get harder and harder for you each time that you turn up to play.
It certainly does. And I mean, the one thing certainly you can say of FC United, they haven't imploded this afternoon. I mean, 2-0 is perhaps a flattering scoreline. I mean, 1-0, yeah, maybe. There was. We've had a couple of half chances, a really good shot and a great save from Grant Shenton. But really, FC United in front of goal haven't really tested.
No, not enough.
There's Harry Winter on the ball now, full of running as always. Halfway through the second half, he was on his feet, he was hobbling, but he always finds that second gear, that third gear, that fourth gear. But it's just not going to be FC United's day, unfortunately, this afternoon. You would expect, as Shenton comes out, does really well, gathers the ball, and the referee puts the whistle to his lips and signals the end of a good second half. Chester know they've been in the game, they've worked next hard, they've got the result that they came to get. And FC United and Manchester unfortunately continue this.
That's 3 weeks from now, this, and that's in Stockport County. That's 3 weeks from now, 26th of January, so in Stockport. Next two games for FC.
Never gets any easier, does it? Maybe that's the game that catapults FC season. Holds Jim Gannon's Stockport County revival doing really well this season.
See you there, thank you.
FC United next week at Bradford Park Avenue, and it's a game really where they'll be taking the positives out of this game and equally be looking at the negatives, looking at the mistakes that have been made in the game, and also looking at an opportunity of maybe improving and working with new personnel. You'd expect people to come in and try and vie for spots and places in this team, but again, we're at such a financial precipice. It's going to be very, very difficult. So it's probably more loan signings, Emily, I would have thought.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult situation. It's to be in. It's disappointing when you see the first. I mean, the first half performance was what was most disappointing for me with FC. You know, it just wasn't like them at all. They didn't play with any pace or purpose going forward. They were playing very, very deep. They allowed Chester time and space to bring the ball forward. I think we were fortunate that we went in at 1-0. You know, a couple of errors, and we escaped with only one goal.
But that's the problem, isn't it? Really, the fact that it was an error that resulted in a goal, and we could have been going in at half time 0-0 because there wasn't any other real clear cut chances for him.
Like I say, I don't think even throughout the second half, I think Chester had to change the way that they played because of how FC approached it. But for me, Chester weren't a 2-0 win.
No, not at all. Well, it's just it's finished Nuneaton, Southport 1, Nuneaton 1, which again, to a degree, helps FC.
Kers and Ashton are still 1-0 up against York.
Yeah, no, when we look around at you know, other teams are managing to grind out something, some sort of result, and get a few results, and that's something that we've not been able to do. And like I say, there's a lot of disappointing aspects to the game, but the positive was how we changed and how we approached the second half. You know, we came out and you could see the difference. You know, he'd clearly told Morton to get forward a lot more, and when we used him coming down this right hand side, it was fantastic. And a lot more pace, and that's how we should be playing games. But if you're going forward and out of desperation, you're always going to leave spaces and gaps in behind. And that's what Chester did really well that second half. They were able to defend so resolutely. They were solid in defence. They made it very difficult to be broken down on the edge of the area. And it was always a yellow shirt that was getting those second balls. And then when they did manage to get the ball forward, they knew the spaces to play the ball into, and they were able to come forward, and they went forward with numbers, and that's what happened with their second goal. And there was absolutely nothing that the FC could do about that, because they'd sent so many players forward.
Well, I'm not going to make the suggestion that Chester are full time, just in case they are or they're not. But they were what you saw in the team. They worked hard together. They worked collectively together. Again, you know, there was flair when flair was required, but primarily it was a pragmatic, good away victory for Chester. They worked hard and worked tirelessly for each other, and you know, it's testament to the way Bernard and Jono set their teams up. You know, when they were at Ramsbottom and when they were at Salford, they showed some great quality and some flair, but equally they know how to defend, they know how to work as a unit, they know how to grind out results. And the one thing is, it's a big result for them. They were in a big game this afternoon. It was a very even contest, and they're relieved, especially with that second goal. They're relieved because know that 1-0 of 90 minutes, the 5-minute onslaught was possibly there. I mean, I'm looking at the Reynolds there, and he's dejected, and he can understand that. He's going to be very, very disappointed and upset in the result. He won't, I suppose, when we will speak to him a little later on, he'll be happy with large aspects of the second half, but equally he'll have to go back to the incident at the very beginning of the game with that basic mistake, unfortunately, that separates the two teams. And see, from that moment onwards, unfortunately, there was no real confidence with our defenders playing the ball back. So on occasions we had to be a little bit more risky than we would, or risque. And that's what you don't need. You don't need a goalkeeper that doesn't instill confidence. And, you're having to work harder, play the ball, play balls where we'd normally back to the goalkeeper, and you give the defence a little bit of a break because he hits it high and long over the top. And he wasn't,
could tell it wasn't just the mistake that he made. It was in the first half, the distribution, how quickly he wanted to release the ball as well. He held on to it, and then his only option was a long ball. We did have the opportunities for if he was rolling it out or throwing it out to the wide players, and decisions by a lot of other players. You know, we saw Willoughby through on goal, and then he's tried to square it across to nobody. Now, he should be shooting from that angle, and that was in the first half, and that's to try and get you back on track. And it's things like that where you just think, well, maybe everybody's suffering that lack of confidence and thinking maybe they've got to add an extra touch or add an extra pass or hold on to the ball and delay things a little bit. They seemed to change that in the second half, but we never really had anything clear cut in terms of shots on goal. Like I say, Shenton made
he made two, actually, if you go back to it. He made that great save against Sharp as well from distance when he bent it and he was going to go into the top corner, and Shent's made a good save. He'd expect to save them, and that's what goalkeepers always say, expect to save them.
Save that one. I mean, the one from it was Willoughby on the edge, and that one was hit with some real pace.
And he was through a number of players as well, and he did well to get across there. And I mean, the one disappointment for me is, I mean, you look at the likes of Sharp and you want that ball on his head. I mean, his father, it was a prolific goal scorer for Scotland and for Everton.
We saw him, didn't we, against Curzon, against Chester.
Against
Chester's
first game of the season,
and,
wasn't it?
He missed a glorious chance, remember?
Three glorious chances he missed, didn't he? Came off as like an half. But his hold-up play is excellent. He also, you know, for me, if you're 6 foot two, 6 foot three, which he is, you've got to get him, he's got to be in the area more, perhaps, you know, as that target man. And you can play Willoughby slightly off him and let Willoughby pick up the bits and maybe shoot and score from there. And if not, you know, he's got to get his head on the ball and he's got to, you know. But look.
Look what's there to look at? There's not a lot to look at.
This is something that, we've been akin to in recent months. I mean, the teams that we've played, I mean, if you look at them, everyone has been a really, really tough encounter. I know we had a good start. We went down to Hereford, and I was looking to be at that game, and we played superbly well. There was a buzz about the game, the way they were playing. I've been here and watched FC play, and again, the buzz about it. Today, the one thing I am pleased is the heads never went down. 55, 60 minutes, when I'm back in Brussels, I'm waiting for my live score prediction, and also Ben and yourselves to be going, oh no, another red card. Yeah. And, you know, today that never happened. They made the right decision with Wallen, bringing him off when he wasn't yet a second yellow waiting to happen. But
the potential's there,
isn't
it?
You've got to do the right thing, and he did the right thing. I thought the introduction of Donoghue was positive. And, you know, there were some good performances out there. I thought Elliot Simmons had a good game. I thought Danny Morton on his debut. But we know the kind of quality he brings to the team. Again, Lynch and O'Halloran. O'Halloran first half are giving them 30-yard balls, which were not really working. But he went back to basics. And then it was short ball, pass, move. Again, you know, they did well. And really, you know, there wasn't a huge amount of pressure, i.e. that we didn't deal with well. And so, I'm trying to think whether or not, you know, they deserve to win the game.
No, well, I think, you know, I don't think.
I mean, they scored two goals.
Yeah,
but
and that's the biggest difference. I mean, one of them was a terrible error.
We don't talk about that.
But their second goal was well taken, but due to the timing of the game, I don't think they didn't seem to trouble us throughout the game. Other than, you know, when we allowed them to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And that's the circumstances. Is that what a good team does, though? I'm going to do James Quinn. Is that what a good team does? Let me ask you the question. But, no, it's...
Wasn't it just a tale of two goalkeepers this afternoon? Because Shenton kept them in it with that proper good save against Willoughby.
Yeah.
Two good saves at one end, yeah.
Well, he's a good goalkeeper, and he lives over there behind the floodlight, and you know he was once at FC United of Manchester, and he's a very good goalkeeper. And
I mean, the problem
it was, yeah. I suppose really you could say it was a tale of two goalkeepers.
I mean, we said at half time, you know, there was, you mentioned Jim Leighton and Les Sealer. During the 99 season, Peter Schmeichel went on holiday. People forget that because he was playing dreadful. And he had 2 weeks off, mm-hmm. and that helps. But at the moment, there's nowhere for us to go, is there?
Well, unfortunately, there's nowhere, as you said, there's nowhere for Lloyd Allison to hide. All he can do is hide on the pitch, you know, for 90 minutes. And the worst thing is, it's the big position, where you can't go missing in the game. You're there.
Yeah.
You can't go missing in any way, shape, or form. And it's a real shame. But again, I think they now that they have to. There's no question about it. There has to be a goalkeeper coming in this week, and that will not only help FC, but it'll help Lloyd as well. It'll do his confidence the world of good in the respect of he has to start performing and getting back to his best in order to be. Because let's forget how good he was last season. He could have been playing full time, as far as I'm concerned, last season. He could have been at a full time club, not necessarily a league club, but you know, a national team full time. That's the kind of calibre he brought. But he's not recovered from his injury at all, has he? But we don't have to wait long, because it looks like we've got the manager coming up here. I'll say goodbye to Emily. It's take care of yourself. I'll see you next Saturday at Bradford Park Avenue. As someone who has been following the club in recent months on the old interweb, and also looking at highlights and looking at stats and performances, it was quite surprising for me for the first 45 minutes, because that is not, and you wouldn't have been happy, and it wasn't acceptable, was it?
No. But I said to the lads, listen, we're in the game again. We've just thrown another goal away. That's what I said at half time. And I can hear people going, you know, they're frustrated. I'm frustrated as well. And you know, we will have to change it, you know. But then, you know, I don't know, you move to the second half, because I feel like I've run over how many cats, because I thought we played so well.
I thought, second half was entertaining, good quality, against the 11 men and equally against the 10 men. And it was a team that really, when you first joined the club, it was the kind of football I was watching, and obviously previously at Bamber Bridge, watching you and the way you set up a team. And that second half was you know, many, many positives. But you can't start a game with a huge defensive mistake, which luckily goes past the post and doesn't go in. And that's the one you think, and I'm thinking today, maybe we've got away with a mistake. But then to make such a fundamental mistake, and in that position, you know, you can't afford to do that, because what it does then, in a lot of ways, and today, I mean, you were talking about players, certainly when something goes against them, imploding as a team and letting in three or four. Now, that never happened today. There was always that spirit, which was good. So mentally, they were a lot tougher today.
And that's what I said. You know, I said that Thursday. I've said that at half-time. Listen, I'm not going to hide it. I've had a right go at half-time. You know, at the keeper and at the rest of the team, because not believing themselves and another mistake. And it's fundamental basic errors. And, you know, I want to protect people, and but I can hear it and I can't keep seeing it. You know, but then for the lads to galvanise and get round each other and just have a right go. We had a go at 11 men. And I just thought it's a matter of time. There's balls fizzing past the post. Lynch is nearly top corner. The keeper's made two or three great saves. Balls fizzing across the box. I just thought, just go in, and the place was going to erupt, and we were going to go on and win the game, but we didn't. And, you know, I was really down after the Spenny Moore game and the Chorley game, and I could hear people being disgruntled. Today, I've come off, and I'm really proud to manage this club. You know, I really am, and listening to the comments that the fans are saying that things are going in the right way. You know, and on another day, we go and win this game. We go and win it, and in the minute, things are against us. You know, things are against us. I've just spoke to their management team, and they said, you know, football's cruel, isn't it? You know, you play that well and you come away with nothing and we don't score. But we've just got to keep believing. We're not going to change it. We're not going to change the style of play that we're playing. And I just believe that we're just that bit of luck, that one win away from going on a run. And you can see the confidence level second half. You know, that's a team that's lost four on the bounce and conceded 13. But I don't think the confidence level's dipped. I don't think their energy level's, their effort level's dipped. They had a right go.
I think you're right. And also, it's testament to the fact that Bernard and Jono were relieved at the end of that game. You know, and these are two managers that we know well, you know well, through your football. And it was a big result for them, because they knew, I mean, when that second went in, they were so relieved, because they knew that it was 5 minutes coming on that board at 1-0. It was panic.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they go down the other end, a well-taken goal. We're having to maybe stretch ourselves a little bit to try and get that equaliser. But, I mean, people have been talking, it's on the message boards and all the rest of it. Another mistake, obviously, by Allanson. And the problem is, the constraints are, as a goalkeeper, you can't bring a goalkeeper in and put him on the bench, because the goalkeeper doesn't want to do that. Equally, Lloyd would, I'm sure, prefer to have someone on his shoulder saying, look, if you don't perform, I'm in next week, because it helps him. His confidence is clearly low. And you could see that not only in him, but in the defence didn't have today any belief in him. because there were situations where balls would go back to goalkeepers on a regular basis, and that never happened. They were making decisions, and quite often dangerous decisions, but they came off. So the likes of Lynch, the likes of O'Halloran, and certainly today the likes of initially Danny Norton and also Collab, they're doing a lot more work, a lot more running, a lot more to the game because they're not confident. So it's got to be addressed, hasn't it?
It will be addressed. I've made that promise, it will be addressed. I've got to go to the club and I've got to look for a bit of support in certain areas, you know, financially. I've got to look at areas because, you know,
I've got a fiver.
Yeah, there's a fiver.
Well, actually, no, I've got €5. Sorry, I don't do.
There's people contracted to the club, etc. And you know, it's difficult, but it's got to be addressed, and it will be addressed. And that's all I can say. It must be difficult as a fan at the minute because we've obviously lost four games on the spin, and you know they deserve so much more. But it's not for the want of trying, and you know. We believe in what we're doing. You know, we don't become a bad team. I don't become a bad manager overnight. You know, we believe in what we're doing. And I've taken so many positives from the second half performance. You know, a team third from bottom, up against it, conceded 11 goals before today's game. And just to go and give an account of themselves, what they did second half. And I was just desperate for one ball just to go over the line, take a deflection or just go in. And that's probably a little bit of luck that we're looking for at the minute. But it hasn't come. And you know, you look back at the run of fixtures now, Chorley twice, spending more Chester. Now we've got Bradford next week, so another easy game next week.
And then Stockport County at
home. And then Stockport County, so they're all, you know, they're all winnable games. And that's what we've got to believe. It's 90 minutes of football, and we've got to believe that. And, you know, we'll keep doing it. I said that to the lads in there now. They are absolutely devastated. They're dejected. They've had a good goal. You've seen the second goal going in. It was like people were shot out there. They were led on the backs, and yeah. You know, they're given everything. And, you know, they had to go and, you know, try and get the equaliser. Wasn't to be, and you know I have to take responsibility. I'm the manager. I have to apologise for, you know, not winning the game of football, but you know some of the comments I've just heard coming off the ground was really, really encouraging. And,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, they've seen a team that's desperately trying to play the right way and score goals and win football games, and that's what we're trying to do. And you know, we've now got 17 cup finals.
Of course, yeah. And the one thing, you know, I mean, I've known you a number of years and watched the style of football and see you produce. As a manager, so as you say, you don't go from being a decent manager, getting promoted and doing well, to being a bad manager overnight. And the supporters here have seen a change, but that change takes time. It's not a question of in the next 6 months we're going to be top of the league, winning all the cup competitions. It's going to take time. You've got 12 players currently contracted, so there's nothing you can do about that.
No.
We obviously have brought in, over a period of time, before you were here even, a number of loanee players, and therefore there's a cap on loanee players.
Yeah.
So you've got a finite resource now to try and find players that can come in, fit in. Now, you've done that with Danny Morton.
Yep.
Great, great signing. Great game and great performance from this afternoon.
Mm. And there's going to be more. You know, there's going to be more. But, I'm very... very articulate who I bring in, and I've said this, I don't want to go and flood it with six or eight players. You know, there's only a little bit of tweaking that needs to be done to this team. There will be another two new signings coming on Monday. We're going to strengthen, well, three. You know, we're going to bring a keeper in, we're going to bring a centre-half in, and we're going to bring another midfielder in. That'll happen, and, you know, I'll be talking to the comms team that there'll be three more signings coming in. But it's bringing the right people in, you know, and just keep chipping away at it. You know, we'll train hard next week. We'll probably be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we'll get ready for the Bradford game next week. But, you know, if anybody is, I don't think they are because the support's been phenomenal today. But, you know, if anyone's doubting us, don't doubt us because we'll turn this around. I'm telling you, we'll turn it around. And you can't play that well and not win football games. You can't. And that's a belief in there. They're absolutely devastated. They're on the knees, they're devastated. But it's part and parcel of football, isn't it? And, you know, we've seen Curzon have won today. But, you know, two wins, three wins, and you're back in there. And that's, you know, that's our objective. There's 51 points to play for.
Exactly.
51
yeah.
points.
And we've seen it with the likes of a poor start to the season from Blyth, you know, possibility of losing a manager at one stage, and then obviously that being sorted out, and they're now top seven.
Yeah.
The same as Spennymoor, poor start to the season, you know, Southport had a poor start to the season. So all it takes, as you say, is two or three games, and before you know it, you're actually mid-table, and you're comfortable playing good football with a realisation that you're not going to get into the top seven, but you are a club that can ride mid-table and have a good end of season and work hard. And that's probably the aim for ourselves as supporters. For you, it's just staying up. Mm. And I'd be happy. Fourth bottom, scraping up the last game of the season, who cares? Because, you know, the pitch, the players that you've got are suited to National League North. Yeah. Lots of them. Some of them will have to go. I agree with you. I think there's still three or four, maybe five players that need to be called, and that's no disrespect to them. It's just that, you know, as a manager, you've got to be cruel to be kind and move them on for your benefit and for the club's benefit.
Yeah. And I can't keep pulling punches, you know. There is an element of that. You know, there's an element of that it's not my team yet, you know, and these contracted players are there. But, you know, they're here, and they've got to give a good account of themselves. And I was very critical after the Chorley game, second half, the way we capitulated. Today, I'm full of praise for the lads, because I think they did everything but score. And I genuinely believe if we would have scored at the right time, then we would have won the game. But with this game, so many positives. With the last game, up to the sending-off positives against Chorley, up to the sending-off against Spennymoor more positives. So, you know, I'm not doom and gloom. I've seen enough today to make me believe that we'll get out of this. We'll get out of this, but we all need to believe it, and I'm sure we do.
I'm sure we do. And listen, with that, listen, we'll see you next Saturday away at Bradford Park Avenue, riding high in the division, and always open, honest opinion. And it's good to hear a manager actually does talk with his heart and also with a bit of a brain.
I do have a curveball question for you at the end. Yeah. You put into the BP barrel and the SMRE, and then you went over. You got a round of applause for that.
Yeah.
And then he went over to the main stand, pad it down here, and put some money into their barrel. Was it even?
I've got to be honest with you.
Oh, no, don't. I know you're new to the club, mate, but you need to...
No, listen, this is the honesty. It's what I like about it. It's good.
They took a note. They take £5 in the SMRE. And they took £4.90 because that's all I had in change. I had no more notes, so the paddock got £4.90.
You know,
and let's not forget, there's a lot of OAPs in that side.
There's more money in the main stand,
so there's £4.90, right. That'll get him a bus ride, couple of trips to the cinema, and a pee wet supper.
It'll get you in the 52s to Felsworth, won't it?
Anyway. Yeah, it'll be all right. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to FC Live on Saturday evening following his side's 2-0 defeat against Chester. It doesn't get much easier for FC United either, as next up for the Reds will be a tough away trip to title-chasing Bradford Park Avenue this Saturday. The address for the ground is the Horsfall Stadium, Cemetery Road, Bradford, BD6-2NG. That's the Horsfall Stadium, BD6-2NG. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. But that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. Podcasts can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.